Hi, my name is Austin Miner, and my age is 16. And today's date is December 12, 2019. My location is Meridian, Idaho. My partner's name is Jenny, and my relationship to the partner is the library.
Hi, my name is Jenny Liebig. I'm 33 years old. It is December 12th, 2019 today. I'm here in Meridian, Idaho at the Meridian Library interviewing with Austin, and I'm Austin's librarian, I guess. So, Austin, I'm excited to talk to you today. I've been trying to remember. We tried to remember this when we first started talking. How many years have you been coming to the library? Do you remember?
I think it was four or three. It's been a long time.
I know the first time I met you was in January, and I can't remember. I think it was January 2017.
I cannot remember that far back, but it's been a while that I've known you.
So introduce that a little bit. What was the reason you started coming to the library?
So I have this thing called HI and HS providers, and they come after school to take me places and stuff. And one of my workers decided to take me to the library, and at the time, I hated reading. I did not want anything to do with reading. But she, convinced me somehow. And I noticed that they had a teen space. And so she, said, that would be good for you to be social because that's one of my goals. And so I went into the teen space, and Jenny was there. And we met, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. Maybe I'll come back more. And so I started coming back. And ever since then, I've just liked it. And it's been basically my second home.
Yeah, that's what I remember too, only you really shrunk down months and months of me trying to get you to talk to me into a really short sentence there.
Yeah, for the longest time I was in a depression, and I did not really talk to anyone, no one. And I really opened up to Jenny when I finally felt she was a safe person to talk to. But at first it was I didn't know who I could trust because I didn't want somebody just saying that they're here for me and then leaving the next day, because I've had a lot of that in my life where somebody says they're there for me and I trust them, and then the next thing I know, they're gone. And that really hurt me as a kid. And I grew up with a lot of issues when I was little, so I just held on to that too. And so I have a lot of trust issues. And Jenny finally opened me up to more things, and that's really it.
I was definitely looking forward to seeing you when your face would come through the door. First, your face kind of neutral or kind of almost frowning, and then eventually your face smiling coming through the door. So, can you talk about some of the ways that you started to have more trust in the library and in me?
Well, it was more I don't know. It was just I felt safe around you. You honestly made me feel safe. You weren't that person that just got up in my face and was really excited. You were just one of those people, really calm people, that was hi, my name's Jenny, and you introduced yourself, and you were just really kind to me when I needed it. And so it was that made me really open up to you in a way. And then once I built that relationship with you, I've just built a lot of trust with you, because it was we've known each other for now multiple years. And so it was the library has been a second home to me.
I wanted to talk, one of the things you and I talked about when you first started coming in was your favorite book. Can you tell us what your favorite book is?
Oh, my favorite book is Wonder, because it's about this kid that has a face deformity, and it just reminded me of getting bullied, you know? And I've had a lot of bullies in my life. And so when I read that book, it just really helped me open up, because I could sort of relate with him. And he was such a brave boy for even trying. And it wasn't he was forced into it. Yes, he didn't want to try, but he did try. And that made me feel maybe if I actually try, then nothing could really affect me. And now I don't get bullied, because it's I don't let other people take me down, like put me down. Like, it just doesn't happen.
You have a lot of confidence. I see that in you.
Yeah, I do have a lot of confidence because at first Jenny and me didn't. Jenny didn't know that I was gay at first, and no one did because I wasn't out, and I just was not comfortable with myself. So I got bullied a lot in middle school, being called a fag, and all the like names in the book, pretty much. And this one kid just loved tormenting me. To this day, he still does, but he finally has slowed down, I should say, because he's not as bad as he was in middle school. But I would get bullied in the locker room. I'd get bullied when I was in PE. I'd get bullied for the way I looked. And that really built my confidence up, even though most people would say it would put them down. But that really built my confidence because I just felt like if people look at me that way, then it just makes me want to work harder to be somebody that people look up to instead of look down to.
That's awesome. Yeah, that sounds like Augie, too, from Wonder, which I only know about because you made me read the book. So you came in here not wanting to read, but somehow you had read a book that your teen librarian had not read. So we made a deal that I would read it and that you would read a book that I chose.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And can you talk about the way that you also wanted to share that book with the other kids in the library?
It's just like
you do remember we did the
whole program about it because it was just like kids need to really open up because they shouldn't be getting bullied. We shouldn't have anyone that could put them down because it's like, honestly, those people won't even matter when you're adults because guess what? When you're adult, you make adult decisions. You get to get your job that you want. You could choose your job. You just have to work for it. And I thought that it would be a good program to put out there because for the kids that are getting bullied, it just needs to be like, you need to brush it off, like, or go tell adult. Like, you always need to tell adult if you're getting bullied. And sometimes, yes, sometimes the teachers don't do anything. I've had that where the teachers don't do anything, and I've told them multiple times I'm getting bullied and they don't do anything. Go to your mom, go to your dad. Go to somebody that you trust to get help because, honestly, bullies have so many issues in their life that they have to put it out on you. They have to be angry towards you because they don't want to feel it anymore. They don't want to deal with all the anger that they have. And
it's
so
not
they,
coming from nowhere.
Yeah, it's not coming from nowhere. Everyone acts like bullies are such like devils and all this stuff, but you have to look at it from their point of view too, because I know I was a bully in middle school too. I'm not gonna lie, I was a bully in middle school. I used to bully kids all the time, but that's because I had family issues and I would take it out on people that were weaker than me and smaller than me, and I hate that. I apologize to every single one of them because it's not okay what I did, and it's not okay to bully, even if you're going through the hardest time in your life. And I honestly pushed myself just so I could stop, and it is tough to stop because you're so used to this routine, but you just, one day you're going to wake up and be like, why would I ever do that? And you know, you might even find them on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat one of these days and see them, and you're going to be like, whoa, they look so happy. And that's not your fault because, I mean, bullying is your fault if you bully, but the fact that you've had issues in your life is not. Everyone goes through a tough phase. Everyone has family issues. Everyone has, even if it looks like they're so happy with their family and everyone's so perfect, trust me, I have those friends. They're not. They're far from it. Just earn one of their trust and they'll tell you it's far from it. Because I used to look at things like, oh my gosh, their family looks so happy and they look so perfect, and why can't my family be like that? But But in reality, it's like behind those doors is a whole nother picture. And you really don't know what everyone's going through. So for for the people that do bully, just get help. Like, go to an adult and ask for help. Ask. That's all you have to do. And it's like, I'm honestly saying that because it's like, I wish I did that.
Well, you've done, I mean, you're in high school. Some people don't realize this until they're older. So I think the work that you've done looking in yourself has been awesome. And you're such a great voice when we're talking about mental health and when we're talking about bullying in some of the other programs we do. I've seen your leadership come through when you're talking about those things. What are some of the things that you've gotten involved with here at the library where you've been able to share that? What are some of the activities that you've done here?
Well, like, my favorite thing to do here, even though I never go anymore, is the Queer Straight Alliance group. And that's because
you came a few weeks ago, didn't you?
Yeah, but I rarely go anymore.
You were one of our founding members, though. Yeah. Like, when we got started.
Yeah. And I would always show up, and I would always see it. And Jenny's the one that got me into it. And I just thought it was the coolest thing, because it was, everyone was so kind. And it's, when I was like that, I never had that. So it was, for me to, come and see all these people that actually care was just, amazing. I'd go home and tell my mom, Mom, guess what? And I'd just talk to her about it. And me and my mom are not close. No one knows this, but me and my mom are really not close at all. But it's we built a relationship over the past 5 years. Because when I was 10 years old, my dad passed. And he was murdered. And that really was a struggle for me to deal with. And everyone knows that, but I just was such a bad kid in elementary school and middle school. And high school was finally the pushing point where I was like, I'm not going to do that.
You're choosing a different path.
Yeah, I'm gonna choose the better path. I'm gonna choose the happy path. And yes, I made mistakes, but that, everyone makes mistakes. I made bad mistakes that got me on probation. And if I could go back and change some of the things that I've done, I would. I'm not going to lie. I would love to take a time machine and change some of the things that I've done. But no one realizes that even if you say sorry a million times, the person may not think that you mean it because you've said it so many times.
It's your actions too. It's not just your words.
And it is. And it's I said sorry all the time to my mom, all the time, because I would have these tantrums and these big tantrums where she would actually send me to one of her friend's house because she couldn't deal with me. She would send me to one of her friend's house that would foster kids that were like me. And so she would always send me there if I was having one of my meltdowns. And I hated going there. I hated going there because everyone was had to get up at 5, had to do their chores, had to do everything. And when I was sleeping there, I had to follow by their rules, even if I didn't like it. And I didn't realize that. And the lady that was my mom's friend at the time would always sit me down and talk to me about it. And be like, what's going on? Why are you behaving like this? And I'd always tell her, because everyone acts like dad's still alive and he's not. And I'd throw a fit. And it would just bug me when everyone would just apologize to me all day. Sorry, I'm so sorry your dad passed away. That just bugged me. I don't think people really get that. When a parent passes away, we don't really want to hear sorry for your loss. At least I don't. That's just my opinion. Some of them they do, but that's, for me, it was just really uncomfortable for me because I was
it doesn't really mean anything to you.
It can't. He can't be. And I would always play a game where he wasn't dead. And where he was alive and well and just hiding from us. And it's unhealthy. It really was unhealthy for me because I did that for the longest time. And I finally come to terms with his death. And it was hard, but I finally did, because it's like, if he hasn't come back in these 5 years, then he's not going to. And it's sad. And I've always wanted him back. I always want my dad back, but he can't. It's not up to him.
Right. You've talked a lot about, you know, when you were feeling really intense emotions after your dad died, some of your actions causing you to want to apologize to other people. And I wonder, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. Have you forgiven yourself? You talk about, well, I say sorry, and I said sorry and sorry to my mom over and over, and I was a bully, and, you know.
I could say right now that I have not forgiven myself, and everyone wants me to forgive myself, because I always say, how could you forgive me if I've never forgiven myself? Like, that's one of my biggest sayings, is that. And I can't forgive myself right now. And I am working towards it. Trust me, I'm working towards a forgiveness and stuff. But it's just like, right now, I'm not in the, like, stage that I could forgive myself for everything. And I'm hoping by, like, 20 or 21 that I'll be like, I forgive myself, you need to move on. But it's just like, my teenage self can't forgive everything that I've done. And I'm working on it, which I'm happy to say I am working on it, so.
I'm kind of surprised. I thought you were going to say, yes, I have, because just your, like, you mentioned this already, your attitude for yourself has been different.
Oh, my confidence towards is yourself. Way higher than yeah. it was in middle school.
Yeah.
Like, my confidence, like, I'm fully out as gay, like, now. In middle school, I came out to 3 people.
Do you think that was the biggest, like,
hold back?
Yeah, like the biggest challenge for your confidence?
Yeah, was me not coming out. I knew it. I knew that I was. I just never came to terms with it in middle school and stuff until my 7th grade year. And even 7th grade, I was uncomfortable with it. I got asked out by a guy, which was really cool. I mean, he was really cute.
Uh-huh.
But I turned him down because he asked me to be his Valentine in front of, like, everyone.
Oh.
And it was really uncomfortable. And I said, I'm not gay. Leave me the F alone. And then I kind of walked out of class because I was kind of uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, but now if he came up to me today and was to ask me to be his Valentine, I'd be like, yes. I was like, why were you so scared of coming out in middle school? Like, it's just one word. And, yeah, kids may not accept you, but you need to accept yourself before you come out. I think that strongly.
So when this happened, you already knew you were gay. You just didn't want to talk to other people about it.
Yeah. And 8th grade, I came out to 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then during the summer.
How did it feel? Did it go well?
Yeah, most of them were, accepting. But I was like, during the summer, it was like where I was like, you know what? High school is a new year. I need to start off with just letting it out and letting the world know. Because
clean slate.
Yeah. And now I'm a sophomore,
mm-hmm.
as you know.
I do know.
And it's just like amazing because all my friends, the true ones, have like come up to me and go, I love you so much, Austin. You're so funny and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm basically the class clown, which... You should not always be the class clown because you could get in so much trouble.
You wouldn't know this from experience, would you?
Yeah. I've gotten in trouble, but it's... High school is tough. I'm not going to lie. High school... Don't let anyone say that high school is not tough because it's probably the toughest years of your life. I'm hoping that college is better, but knowing... With my luck, it's probably not going to.
Well,
but
not very optimistic.
But I am going to still work as hard as I can so I could become a senior and mm-hmm. then pass all my grades so I could get out early. Because at my school, seniors could skip a period if they have all their credits and
yeah.
stuff. And so it's really cool. So I was like, I want to work towards that.
Are you on track for it?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm passing all my classes.
Way to go.
I failed one class last year, and I was so sad. I thought I passed all of them.
Yeah.
And I failed one because of my final test.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was super sad about it. But, you know, I'll make it up somehow.
Austin, where could you go if you needed somebody to help you with your schoolwork and you needed help studying or you needed help with research? Can you think of anyone?
I could go to you.
Uh-huh.
I could go to my worker.
Uh-huh.
I could go to the school. I could go to the counselor. I could go really to a lot of places. And the sad part is I have all those resources. And I act like I don't. And it's like, there's actual kids out there that don't have those resources. And when I grow up, my big dream is to become an actor, but not just an actor. I want to be an actor that gives away instead of gets. I want to be an actor that could go places and speak. And I thought that would be really cool. I want to be in a movie. I want to be famous and all this stuff. But at the same time, I want to be somebody, I don't want to just give to the poor because I feel bad for them, you know? I want to give because I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not just because I feel bad and I'm just like, oh, well, I should give to them because, you know what? They're going through a hard phase in their life right now. So everyone does. If you give them something, maybe it will encourage them to be better, you know? And like, get a job. Even, you know, I didn't realize this, and I was watching the news the other night.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many homeless people that have jobs and stuff that are working full-time right now, and I don't think any of us take that into consideration because it's like we just act, oh, they're homeless, so they must not have a job. If they would go get a job, it would be so much easier. You know, half of them are getting the jobs and have two jobs, are working two jobs and still can't afford. It's because our prices for the houses are just going up and up.
It's definitely hard here in Boise right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is tough. It's tough in a lot of places, and it just makes me sad. It's just like, I know this is like bashing the government, but it's like the government should be working on this. And I get that we have a lot of things to work on, but the government should really focus on how many homeless, because I think it said like 40,000 in like Chicago or something are homeless and all this stuff. There's lots of homeless people, and it's sad.
Yeah, you have a lot of empathy, and I think that's what's really important when you're thinking about these things, is not, like you said, if you look at a bully, don't just stereotype and go like, oh, you know, bullies are evil. Or don't you look at a person who's experiencing homelessness, don't just look at them and be like, oh, you know, they made bad choices and this is their fault somehow. I like that you can think like that. And we talked about finding a project. So the other group you're in here at the library is the Teen Advisory Council.
Yep.
And we're trying to figure out, like, what our goal for 2020 is going to be. Do you have some ideas?
I mean, our goal should be, like, more activities for teenagers, after-school activities for teenagers and stuff. Because it's, like, there's so many teenagers that I've noticed that don't want to go home, that go to random places and just don't want to go home. And I think that if we were to let people know that we were here, because we have a lot of people that come here,
come here to the library. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
But it's, like, we don't have as many teens as I think we could have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the teen space is always, like, really busy, but it's, like, if we threw
If we invite
more,
100 more people, we're going to need a giant building.
If we were to, like, throw after-school activities and parties and stuff, then those people might go home and their parents might be asleep and they might feel safe, you know? But at the same time, it's, like, those parents might be, like, Where are they? Why didn't they tell me, like, because what if they just don't feel safe in their house and they just want to get away for a little bit.
What do you think are the biggest priorities for what the teen space should be doing, what the library should be doing?
I honestly think the Meridian Library deserves a bigger teen space. I'm not going to lie, I think they deserve a way bigger teen space than what they have. I mean, it's a decent-sized teen space of what we have.
Some libraries don't even have one. Yeah, we're lucky.
Yeah, we are very lucky. But I just think if we were to expand the size of the teen space, more teens would come, and because it does get loud. And, like, we could have a gaming corner and, like, all these, like, things. We were looking at, were they bunk beds that one time?
Yeah, you were.
They were
suggested to me that we get
they were really cool
bunk beds for the teen space. I can see some issues with this.
Well, yeah, people sleeping.
Yeah.
We can't sleep in the library.
But you want, but the spirit of what you want is like a comfortable space.
Yeah.
That it's not just like going to school and sitting in plastic chairs and being at your desk or.
Because God knows that's a lot of.
Do you think it's comfortable now?
Today.
I mean, you're comfortable here.
Yeah, I am comfortable here.
I guess I just put words in your
mouth. I am comfortable here. Yeah. So but yeah. What do you think? What do you think we should be doing for the teen space and stuff?
Well, we asked our whole group what our biggest like issues that they care about, that we care about. And tied for first place when y'all did the survey was mental health and issues for LGBTQ people.
There is issues with LGBTQ people.
Yeah, and I mean, the way that it was answered, I'm not sure exactly what people want.
I know.
I think they want awareness. I think they want empathy. I think they want comfortable spaces. Last year we did the alternative prom. I think we're going to do one of those again this year. So like you're saying, people who might not want to be at home, people who spend time at the library for whatever reason. Like you first started coming here because an adult was bringing you here and was like, Austin, we're going to the library.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Suck it up. Yeah.
So we have some kids who are here for that reason too. So I think our priority is to keep trying to make our space comfortable and meet the needs that we have. Like, did you know that somebody has come in before and said, I have an interview, but I don't know how to tie a tie. Can you help me learn how to tie this tie? Like a teenager?
I'm sure they have.
Right. And so this is a question that we answer. So I'm
because
really happy.
In schools, they don't teach cursive or any of that stuff. You know that?
Cursive. Yeah. Cursive is like a controversial one now. Should we teach it or not? But it's good. It's good to teach and it helps people who are dyslexic. But so I want people to think of the library as a place where they can go to answer a question like, how do I tie a tie? Or
and a safety place, too.
I want to read a book. You're reading more books now. What are you reading right now?
I am reading, what's it called? Jerkbait.
Uh-huh.
I am reading that right now, and it's such a good book so far. Like, I love it because it's talking about an LGBTQ person and what and how they tried to do suicide and stuff. And it's really, like, emotional because it is, it's like, I know that I've struggled with suicidal thoughts and stuff. And so for me to read that, it's just, like, it really opens up a lot for me. And it just helps me get through a lot because it's, like, wow. Like, it's just, like, I never realized that somebody could go through that. Too.
Besides you.
Yeah, besides me. Like, I always thought it was about me. I'm not going to lie. I was pretty much that person that just was like, oh, it's always about me for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like, I really have stopped that. And I'm like, no, I know it's not about me. We need to like stop and think.
If people can identify with those feelings, yeah. This is maybe one of the big important things that we want to talk about. You know, if we're talking about mental health, talk about helping teens who are experiencing mental health crises. One day we were in our meeting here at the teen advisory group, and like three of you were looking at me and you were all saying, you're like, oh yeah, well I'm meanest to myself. You all are so kind to each other. You build each other up. Somebody's having an off day and you all like cheer each other on. You say, don't worry, it'll be better. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. And then the next thing I'll hear is y'all saying things like, you know, well, I'm the meanest to myself, and I'm stupid, and I'm worthless, and
yeah, I think there is a lot of negative comments when it comes to Queer Straight Alliance Group, because I know that I talk down to myself a lot, but it's like I struggle. I do struggle, and so I think it's not even that I call myself fat a lot. Like, I call myself fat a lot because...
And you mean it as a negative thing.
Yeah, I do mean it as a negative thing.
Because fat's just a word.
But, yeah, it is just a word. And it's not, like, it's not that I feel fat. I do feel fat, but it's not that I am fat. It's more, I call myself fat because I know I could lose weight if I truly put my mind to it. And it's like... I have some extra weight on me, but I have been working out for the last few weeks. Like, I've been honestly trying to lose some weight, and it's been working, and I feel so much better in my skin. I haven't really been calling myself fat. I may say, oh, I'm gross sometimes, but it's just because I feel, like, gross in my skin. But it's like, you know, I'm happy. I'm honestly so happy. Everyone, like, has tried to cheer me up. And, you know, Jenny, I've told Jenny this, but Jenny, I don't think she realizes how much of an influence she is in my life and everything. And she literally saved me. Like, I'm not going to lie. She saved me from suicide. And I was so depressed when I first met her. And... she just knew how to cheer me up. She would always go right when I walked in, oh, hi, Austin. Do you want to play a game? Like, every time. And she just made my day so much better. We played so many games, Jenny.
We played the castle game.
We probably played half the games in there. And she really helped me through a rough time in my life. And I really do appreciate her. Like, anyone in Meridian, you guys should totally come to the Meridian Library. Like, it's the best. Because Jenny, once you meet Jenny, you never want to, like, leave.
Or you meet Austin, hanging out in the library all the time.
Yeah, you'll even meet me. Like, and you'll know that you met me because I may sound so kind right now, but I'm literally, like, the most extra person you will ever meet.
Well, this is what I'm saying. If you heard any of your friends or any of the other teens that are hang out in these volunteer groups with us, if you heard them saying these things about themselves, you would say, stop it.
Yeah.
And I wish you could be as kind to yourself as you can be to other people. Because that's what, you just said, that I saved you. But I wasn't trying to save you because I didn't know you needed saving. I was just trying to be kind. And look at what that difference was.
Yeah, kindness.
So you can be that person too.
Is like kindness honestly could save so many people, and I don't think we realize that. But if you see somebody that looks the slightest down, just say hi, how's your day, and be nice, and it literally could change somebody's mood for the rest of the day. Even if they don't answer you, they might
try again next time.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep on asking them, and eventually, one of these days, they're going to be like, good, thanks for asking.
You're proof that persistence works.
Yeah, even if they tell you to leave them alone. Like, you know, don't, because you could tell they're down.
Yeah, I mean, I think listen to how people want to be treated, but you're right. You didn't tell me to stop. You just gave me a look like... okay, whatever. And then eventually it was like, no, ask me to play a game. I really want to play a game today.
Yeah, but now we never play games anymore.
Well, yeah, what's up with that?
I'm never here anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll start coming.
So what games should we get back to? What were some of your favorites?
You know, my favorite was that, what's that? It was like the city game. What was it?
King Domino.
Yeah. And it was super cool. Like,
yes.
I thought that was such a fun game.
We never play
that anymore, and I thought it was so fun. So we should totally
play
that.
I'm here. Let's do it.
Let's do it. But I am I'm just thankful for you, and I need you to know that. And even if I don't know any of y'all, I am thankful for you guys, because I may meet you guys in the future, and who knows, one of you might be even my best friend right now.
Oh, yeah, so, you never know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
It's so exciting.
So, thank you, Jenny.
You're welcome. Thank you. I'm thankful for you, too. You don't know this, but I was new to being the teen specialist. I was new to the job, and three people who had worked here before had all left in the space of, like, 2 or 3 months, and people were always coming through the door and going, like, hey, where's this person? Where's that person? Why don't they work here anymore? And I would say, you know, oh, they're not here right now. Hi, I'm Jenny. Do you want to do this thing? And they would go, like, oh, well, so-and-so's not here? Okay, no. And then they would just, like, look at the floor, turn around, leave the teen space. So nobody, it was just, like, people leaving and leaving and leaving because I wasn't the person they were looking for. So you were that first patron who came in and was, like, I'll talk to you. And you were, like, I don't care who the other people were because I didn't know them, so I'm here to see what's up. I'm here to see the new teen space.
Yeah.
So we were there for each other, and we didn't even know it.
Yeah, this honestly. This is magical. It is, and it's just fun. I enjoy coming, and it's just, I'm so tired. I'm sorry.
No, I think we've had a great conversation. Thanks so much for talking to me today.
Yeah, thank you.
You had a lot to say, and I'm happy.
Thank you for talking to me.